The text that called for our attention this Lord's Day is our gospel lesson for today from Matthew chapter 22. It says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his talk, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the word of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, but you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. They brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The day in which that story that we just read occurred, I can guarantee you that Jesus did not leave where he had slept the night before looking to give people a lesson about the relationship between church and state. And to be honest, those Pharisees and Herodians who asked him the question about all of this weren't really interested in receiving a lesson about it either. Now, we're told in our text that they were trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to trap him into either offending the Jewish people or into questioning the Roman authority that ruled over them. Yes, those people in our text were simply out to trap Jesus. But in the midst of their scheme, Jesus did end up teaching everyone that would listen about how God's people are to think about government and about country. Yes, they were trying to trap him. But God, in this case, in the flesh, Jesus, escaped by simply speaking the truth and then escaping their trap. He also taught a little about how we think about government and country to all those who had ears to hear. Today, you and I are called to listen as people who have been given ears to hear by the Spirit of God. Yes, today, a little less than a month out from the presidential election, we are to leave all the hype behind just for a moment to think about the very basic question of how we are to think about government and country. Right now, so much of our attention is drawn to matters of state. Jesus gives us some wisdom to live our lives by when it comes to government. He teaches those of us who live in the kingdom of God how to think about living in a country ruled by a government. You see, God's people have lived under all sorts of different government situations. They've been outright slaves. They lived for a long time under the rule of powerful emperors. They have lived under good kings and bad kings. They have lived in places where the government was so limited that we might as well say it was anarchy. You and I, God's people, live today in a democracy. And yet, amazingly, the wisdom which Jesus gave to a group of people living under Roman rule seems to apply so well to any of those situations in which God's people have ever lived. It applied for them, and it applies for us. So what exactly is this wisdom or this rule that Jesus gives that applied under Roman rule and can also apply under democratic rule? Well, the rule is this. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is his. Yes, this is how God's people are to relate to government and country. To be truthful, when Jesus gave this answer, it probably didn't make anyone terribly happy. For there were many Jews in Jesus' day that thought that they needed to reject the Roman authority at all costs. So they would not have been happy with Jesus' word about giving Caesar anything. But then there were also the Roman rulers who liked to think of themselves as gods. be happy with Jesus talking about giving to some other god something that was his. One of those Roman rulers believed all things were theirs. And yet, while he likely offended both groups of people a little, his answer left his enemies dumbfounded. His enemies tried and tried again throughout the Gospels, throughout Jesus' life, to trip him up, to find something that he would give the wrong answer on. But every time they did this, Jesus simply responded by teaching the truth with authority. And that's what he did in our text. He said that the people of God should render unto Caesar what was Caesar's, and that they should give to God what was God's. In Jesus' day and age, that meant that the Jewish people should go ahead and pay the tax that Rome had levied upon them. It meant not resisting their authority, like so many of the Jews of that day urged their fellow Jews to do. For ultimately, Jesus understood what Isaiah had declared and what Paul would later declare, that even someone as unruly as the Romans were in power only because God allowed it. And therefore, it was right to submit to the authority they had. But that is not all that Jesus sought to teach that day. He also sought to remind the people of that day that they were not to give to the government anything that was God's. Now, Jesus here was not trying to teach the Jewish people how to wiggle their way out of some taxes in order that they could keep more to give to God. Rather, he was concerned that their ultimate allegiance would not ever become that of being allegiant to the Romans, but instead that their ultimate allegiance would always be to God. He wanted to make it very clear that they could never, never give up their faith in order to please those that were ruling over them. And I suppose it's easy for you and me to understand how God would not want the Jewish people to go ahead and yield their allegiance to the Romans. After all, the Romans eventually were the ones that had their own hands bloodied in killing God's only son. But when we transfer this teaching to our day, it's a little harder to apply. You and I don't live in a country ruled by tyrants. We don't live in a country whose government we ultimately hate. Rather, we ultimately find our country to be something to be quite proud of. As far as allegiance goes, you and I have been pledging allegiance to this country as long as we have been in school, if not before. You and I have stood with our fellow Americans in classrooms, in courtrooms, and in many other situations, and pledged allegiance to that flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stood. Until 1954, that pledge that you and I are so familiar with was missing a phrase that you and I kind of always assume was there. It was in 1954 that Dwight Eisenhower pushed for legislation to add two simple words to the Pledge of Allegiance. Those two simple words were "under God." Eisenhower, when he wrote that we should make this change to the Pledge of Allegiance, wrote these words. He said, "These words will remind Americans that despite our great physical strength, we must remain humble." Yes, these words were added to remind our country that it always remained under God. In other words, at his discretion and answerable ultimately to him. No matter the level of strength that the United States would accomplish, these words were to remind us that no country can ever approach the power of the Almighty God. As you and I stand a little less than a month out from elections, it can seem to us that country is all that matters. After all, if you turn on the TV or the radio, it's likely all you will hear about. One of the candidates, everywhere he goes to the rallies, has signs that are over all the crowd, and usually right in front of him, that says, "Country first." And the other candidate, when he first saw those signs, made clear to point out that he too placed country first. Now, I understand what these signs mean, I think, to both candidates. But I think that the phrase really hits at the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach us in our lesson for today. For ultimately, for us as Christians, country cannot be first. Country for us must always remain under God. Well, we can love our country. We can pledge to remain loyal to it. We indeed should be involved in every way we can in making this place and this country the best that it can be. But ultimately, it cannot for us be first. For first place in our life belongs to God alone. And Jesus is clear today that what is God's, we are to give back to Him. Over the last several months, I've watched my share of political rallies. And I'm always amazed there at the great level of passion you see at those events. People really get riled up at election time. And I understand it, for there are important things at stake. But I often wonder, when was the last time that we gathered together as God's people and were that passionate about Him? When was the last time that we studied His plan? I think God out there to make sure that everyone else knew what they were. When was the last time we made it clear that we were His supporters? Yes, the text is clear. We're to give to Caesar what's Caesar's. We're to pay our taxes. We're to serve our country in whatever way we feel we are able. We are to vote with informed mind and spiritually reasoned judgment. But in the end, we must realize that our love of country must always fall under our love of God. We must always realize that ultimately our hope is with Christ, and that our hearts must be tied first and foremost to Him. Our ultimate hope is not in the flag, but in the cross. Our hope is in King Jesus, and not one political leader or the next. Our hope is in the kingdom of God, and not ultimately in the United States of America. For no political candidate, no matter how much you like them, has died for your sins. There is no country in the world whose citizenship can offer any hope for life after this one. Indeed, that those truths do not make our lives as countrymen unimportant or unnecessary. But it does mean that those things must always remain under God. Yes, with all the news these days about the election, it can become very easy to all of a sudden end up making country first. Where our fear, our love, our trust, and our emotions get all bound up in politics and patriotism. But today we are called to stop for a moment and to be reminded that God is truly first. So today, if you care more about the United States election than you care about your eternal election as God's people, you must turn. If the flag stirs you more than the cross, there is trouble. If you would rather be remembered as a patriot than a saint, you indeed have given to Caesar something that belongs to God. Today let us turn to the one who escaped from the trap set for him in our text, but allowed himself later to be bound to the cross, to pay for all the times when you and I place something else in first place of our lives, instead of placing God first. For in turning to God, we ultimately will give to Him what is His, and that is our very self. And if we will hand to Him that tattered and torn mess, Jesus has promised to forgive it. And he has promised to make us again through his forgiveness and his Spirit ready to serve him. And only with God's forgiveness and his Spirit are you and I left ready to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but even more importantly, to give to God what is his. Amen.